the blessings of being water baptized. Many of y'all know we're in a series, and in this series, during this part of the year, we're still building. We're still building. Not brick and mortar as we've done successfully, thank you, sir, over the years. Our focus, our attention is building a spiritual house, a spiritual church, a spiritual family. That's the goal. We've been so successful. We've been so blessed. In fact, it's been unfair, very unworthy, but we've been really successful over the years, going on 29 years this month, of building buildings and facilities and acreage. And if nothing ever happens for this church, we'll be able to say we've been there, done that, right? But thanks be unto God, we now have an opportunity to really focus on the main thing. And that's not blueprints, it's not brick and mortar, but it's building a spiritual house, a spiritual family. Whereas whether you live in Charlotte or you move out of the country or whatever your destiny and your situation and your journey leads you, you can say, I was a part of a building mechanism that built spiritually my walk with the Lord. So we're advancing not just the church, but we're advancing the community, because I believe that we're advancing the kingdom. And what does that look like? It looks like what the Great Commission, and we call it the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, because this is what Jesus told us to do. And I think after all of the fanfare, after all of the things that we say we are called to do, shouldn't we really be about the Father's business? Shouldn't we really be about the Father's business? I don't think water baptism gets enough credit. I don't think the sacrament, the worship, the entity of water baptism gets enough credit in today's church. Whether you have a baptismal pool or not, whether you understand the significance of the water or not, I want to make sure today that everyone understands the value, okay, the importance of water baptism. I cannot emphasize this enough. We're in a season of seeing God move by his power in his presence. I cannot tell you the last time there's been a lot of expectation, anticipation, and just a lot of faith forward feeling about what God has done and what he's doing here at City Church North Lake. I had all intentions today to review last week's message, and I was going to go back last week and review a little bit, but you know, for the sake of time today, I'm just going to have to tell you, listen, you just need to go back and read for yourself the book of John chapter 4. It talks about a woman in Samaria. It's a place of the undeserved, the uncredited, or the unpopular, the impure, the unimportant, less fortunate, less desirable, less deserving. It is a place, it was the ghetto, it was a hood. But for whatever reason, Jesus says, I got to go through that area. It's not the most convenient route, but I'm going because there's a date with destiny. You all know the story, right? There's a woman there, and she has a horrible past, and she even has a horrible right now. But Jesus looks past her five husbands. He looks past the fact that she's shacking up with somebody right now, and he loves on her. He has to navigate through a bunch of religious conversations and gets to the core of the matter. When it comes to worship, it's not here or there. It's how you worship. They that worship me in spirit and truth. Then he cuts to the core, gets to the heart of the matter, and lets her know, woman, you have a future. God is not concerned about your past. You've got a tremendous future ahead of you, and your right now is something promising. I shared that to remind every one of you last week of this. Your life, your calling, in fact, your everything. Come on, say my everything. Yet that includes my past, my present, my future. It is so vitally important to the Lord. Remember John chapter 4:28. The woman left her water pot. She goes into the city. She says to the men, come see a man who told me everything that I ever did. We had a great Bible study Thursday night. And Thursday night, we do a sort of a trifecta effect. We review, we give the word, and then there's a small group gathering. So we make sure it's a learning environment. So you just don't come to a traditional run-of-the-mill dry Bible study, but you go home saying, you know what? I learned something, I felt something, and now I can do something. And it all happens in about 45 minutes on Thursday nights. So you got to come out Thursday night. You won't regret that time you spent with us on Thursdays right here at the church, 7 p.m. Now, that being said, remember this. She goes to the city that the 12 disciples went to. They came back with food. She comes back with a crowd. We reminded everyone that it's not the woman in the crowd. It was a crowd inside the woman. And maybe today there's people in the room. There's a crowd inside of you. You may not know it because you're so bound by your past. You're so confused by all of the things you're entangled with today. But if you would get untangled, get over your past, there's a crowd of vision, a crowd of success, a crowd of potential that God is drawing a well up out of you to bring life to the world. There were three lessons applied last week, and I want to give them to you again. Number one, stop making excuses that people don't want to hear about the Lord. People don't want to hear about Jesus. People aren't ready for salvation. Jesus kind of cuts to the cord and says, listen, stop saying there's 4 months and then the harvest. He says, if you'd open your eyes and if you look with your spiritual eyes, the harvest is now. People are ready now. Get past excuses. Get past all of the reasons and learn to be a witness. My brothers and sisters, you're the UPS person. You're the Amazon driver. You're the FedEx person. You are not responsible for the content. You are responsible for the delivery of the content. If you would open your mouth, if you would present the gospel, sometimes just a smile by itself, people will come to know Jesus all because of your obedience. Number two, we said, listen, be the person who's 100%. God can do more through one person who's 100%. Than 90 people or 100 people who's 90%. We live and look for reasons to fall short. Whereas God is saying, all I'm looking for is a man or a woman who doesn't mind giving me their all. And if you're willing to give me your all, I will give you my all. Third and finally, again, let me just underscore this piece. God took this woman to a city and she comes back with a crowd. She had a date with destiny at a place and a time that no one expected it. Let me finish this message and say this to you right now. There's a season and there's a clock that's ticking. And I need you to be prepared because God is meeting you. He will meet you at sometimes the most unconventional, unprepared, unseen time. You're looking for God in the east, he's coming from the west. You're looking for God in the west, he's coming from the south. You're looking for God in the morning, he's going to move in the evening. You're trying to see God in the city, he's going to move in the country. All I'm saying is this, no man knows the day nor the hour. And you don't think you can so predict that God's going to do X, Y, and Z. I need you to be ready. Bible says, be ye also ready. Be ready because God, like he did with the woman at the well, will come at the most unconventional, unexpected time to change your life. This morning, the blessings of being water baptized. I want to look at Mark chapter 1, and I want to read this one more time because I think there's a couple of things we see today that maybe you hadn't seen in times past. Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. Does anybody remember anything about Nazareth? Do we remember any reference point in the scriptures about Nazareth? I remember, was it Nathaniel who said, is there anything good that can come out of Nazareth? So here we go again. An unconventional place, an unorthodox place, the hood, a very, very not so safe, not so clean place. I've been to Nazareth, by the way, full of traffic, by the way, at this current day and time. But can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, for whatever reason, John wants the people to know Jesus from Nazareth comes. What does the scripture say? Well, the Bible goes on to say, he goes from Nazareth, and Jesus, the Bible says, was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And then there was a voice. Notice he sees before he hears. You'll always see before you hear. A voice comes from heaven. You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. If you'd give me another 6, maybe 7 minutes, I want to talk about the importance of water baptism, the obedience of water baptism, and the blessings of water baptism. Would you say that with me? Say the importance of water baptism. Come on, everyone, say the obedience of water baptism. Now, come on, say the blessings of water baptism. I don't want to assume everyone, but for those that are Christians in the room, it is a very important step to take as you identify this very area of your life. One of the first steps a new Christian should take in being a born-again believer is to be water baptized. In fact, Matthew 28 reminds us, verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, if I was in a classroom setting, which I am, baptism, what is the word baptism? It comes from the word baptizio, which means to submerge or to submit. Stay with me, okay? Because some of you come from a background where water baptized was with a watering hose, or water baptized might have been with the sprinkling, as we see on The Godfather or one of those Roman Catholic movies, right? Well, that wasn't water baptism. That might have been tradition, and that might have been a sense of orthodoxy, but the word baptism baptized in itself means to submit, to submerge. And so baptism simply means it is a worship through which believers express their faith and commitment. It comes from the word, what literally means immersion, submersion, or to be fully wet. Now, why is this important? Stay with me. Many of you all, and let me just remind you of my experience. In 1979, I was 10 years old, 11 years old maybe. And I can remember being a member of a Baptist church in Houston, Texas, where you would join the church one or two ways. You would join with a letter of candidate, a letter or a candidate of baptism. Now, that was that tradition of that church, right? Didn't say it was Bible. It was a tradition of that church. And so in my infancy growing up, all I knew was there was an importance of being water baptized. Some of y'all might remember the same thing. They put a chair out and you come sit in that chair in front of everybody and say, I'm going to join the church. Well, how do you join? You join by a letter from a prior church, or you became a candidate of water baptism. Okay, sounds good to me so far, right? But wait a minute. Does that tell me that if I can be part of a church, the only requirement is to be water baptized? Hey, I like that deal so far. But the reality was, it may have given me a membership to the church, but did it really give me a membership to God's heavens? I may become a member on the roll book of the church, but was I a member in the roll book of life, right? And so sometimes there's this erroneous teaching and doctrine that water baptism is the one silver bullet and the cure-all for everything we'll ever need religiously or spiritually. Even here in Carolinas, we think that, you know, baptism is really all about, put on a white robe and go to a lake or a swimming pool or a baptism and get wet, and presto, you are automatically a Christian. But that's not scripture. It's not Bible. So today I want to make sure, for those of you that already know, let me reiterate, because you need to be the teacher. You need to be the spokesperson. You need to be the herald that goes and tells others the correct doctrinal meaning of baptism. And for those that don't know, well, I'm glad you're in class today, right? And so that being said, the importance of water baptism. Let me give you two reasons why baptism is important. Number one, it identifies you. It identifies you with Christ. The book of Galatians 3 says it this way, Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized, remember, submitted, immersed, to feel fully wet in Christ, you put on Christ. So let me stop right there. The young kids that are in the room, they need to know, when I'm water baptized, I'm now identifying with Christ. What do we know about Christ? Well, we know somewhere in his journey, in 33 years, he goes down. When we mean by going down, we're not talking about in defeat, but he goes down to the grave, right? But he doesn't stay in that grave. Somewhere in the imagery of his going down, he comes up. So baptism for the modern biblical believer can't be a spraying of a water hose. It can't be a sprinkling of water because I'm a priest with a robe on, okay? But it has to be the physical act of somebody going down and then coming up. Let's keep reading Galatians chapter 3. So therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. We seen the movie The Equalizer the other day. You talking about the true equalizer? He's the true equalizer. He equalizes everything. So there is no partiality. There is no discrimination. We ain't got to worry about him, he, her, she, and all these different pronouns. No, I am in Christ. Oh, I would meddle for a little bit, but I don't know if you're ready for me to meddle with all these guests and visitors in the room. But when you're in Christ, all right, all lives matter. When you're in Christ, it ain't black, it ain't white, it's crimson red. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. I'm so glad today that though my sins were as red, hallelujah, he cleanses me and makes them whiter than snow. So identity, someone say identity. Number two, my faith in his lordship. Why is water baptism important? Number one, identity with Christ. Number two, faith in his lordship. Acts 8:35, and I'm almost finished. And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the scriptures, he preached Jesus unto him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, oh, by the way, you do know this eunuch was a black man. You do know this eunuch was from Ethiopia. You do know this eunuch was the first passageway into that part of the region and that part of the world. It was this eunuch who hears from Philip who talks about the gospel. Why is that important? Well, because it's important because of the diversity, right? And the multifacetedness of the kingdom, right? We don't have to let people block us or measure us by thinking that we serve a King James religion from the 1600s and therefore there was no placement. No. The gospel that we read, the Bible that we believe, his blood was shed for all. And because of his blood, we all can mature and be all that we can be, including this Ethiopian, including this gentleman by the name of Philip. So the Bible goes on to say, as they went down the road, they came to water, and the eunuch said, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him there. Why is this important? Baptism, number one, identifies you with Christ. Baptism, number two, surrenders your lord, his, you to his lordship, right? In a day of universalism, in a day of apostasy, in a day where people are following the occult, New Age, all of these false gods and all of these Christologies and mythologies and all of these self-proclaimed gods, it is so important that you make one thing for sure. It is in him, Jesus, that you live, you move, and you have your being, right? We don't serve multiple gods. We don't make ourselves gods. He is Christ, Son of God, the living one. And when you are baptized in water baptism, right? So I'm preaching right now, not just for these candidates, but for the many of you who say, I didn't know all that. I think I'd like to be on this next baptism opportunity, because it's important more than just getting wet. It's important more than just church tradition. Number two, baptism is obedience of water, or obedient, the obedience of water baptism. It's just the right thing to do. Matthew 3:13, listen closely. Jesus came from Galilee to John in the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, but yet you're coming to me. Notice what Jesus says in verse 15. Again, this is Matthew 3, verse 15. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it so to be, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him. Let me give you a little background real quick. You remember John the Baptist, right? He's John the Baptist, right? He's John the Baptizer. Baptist, that wasn't no denominational background. He's John the Baptizer. John comes from the Essenes tribe, or the Essenes tribe. It was a religious sect, very pure, very holy, very righteous. These were really the true holy rollers of his time. Remember now, John has his own thing going on, because John comes from Zacharias, who's a priest. So John, you know, John's a different character. He's a different character. He's not, he's cut from a different piece of cloth. Let me say it that way, okay? John, what do we know about John, by the way? So John was really nothing like his daddy. You know, you think about Zacharias. Zacharias is the priest in the house. John didn't cut his teeth in the house. The Bible says John was in the wilderness. He didn't wear the phylactery. He doesn't wear the holy garb. Bible says he had leather clothes on. He ate a different diet. He had a different mindset. But what did Jesus say about John the Baptist? There's been no greater prophet born under woman than John the Baptist. I don't want to deviate too much, but there may be a few John the Baptists in the room right now. You knew, you look nothing like your father in ministry. You did nothing like the generation prior to you. But if you would tap into identity, if you would believe that God has called you what he's called you to, you may not realize this, but he may be raising you up to reach a whole nother generation of people your father and your father's fathers could have never reached. Remember now, John the Baptist ate wild locusts, had a different appetite. John the Baptist wore different clothing, had a different appearing about himself. He looked nothing religious. But notice something about John the Baptist. The Bible says the city would leave, the people would leave the city and come all the way out to the wilderness to hear him. Now, if you hadn't been to Israel, don't think the wilderness is Tarzan, Jane, and a monkey swinging from the vines, right? The wilderness is a dry, desert place. But somehow the people left the comfort of Jerusalem and the city to go way out there. And you know what? Here's something interesting. He ain't have but one message. He didn't have a sermon series. He had no marketing. He had no social media. He had no business cards. He had no briefcase. He had no itinerary. He had no private jet. He had one message. You know what the message was? Repent. Repent. No prosperity. No five keys. No get a home. No new family. One message. Repent. What did the Bible say about John the Baptist? And everybody left the city to go out to the woods to hear him. Don't tell me the message of repentance is not attractive. Because if we truly understand the word repentance, we understand what it means. Repent, re to do over again, pent up. They go back to the penthouse of living. They come out of the dweller, come out of the muck and mire of low living. And go back to the pent. Go back to the true meaning of how God meant for your life to be. He's called you to be. See, we want to, I tickle at these young people. The young people, they want to call each other kings and priests and queens. No. A true queen and a true king understands their identity in Jesus. Understands their identity that true royalty is true loyalty. True meaning and true existence is found in Christ. Not your colors, not your brand, not your tattoo, not anything else that identifies you. My truest anointing and grace is in him. Right? And so that being said, repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. And may I submit to you before I close that baptism is really all about repentance. It's about a change of life, change of thinking, change of mindset. I still can't get nobody to say amen. Because most of us grew up in a church and grew up in an era where repentance was all about just coming to the altar and confessing your sins publicly, being embarrassed and going to sit down somewhere. When we think repentance, we think about being publicly embarrassed and shamed because somebody got pregnant. But how, I don't know how we got the woman to come confess and make her feel embarrassed, but we never got the man to come stand next to her because she didn't get pregnant by herself. Right? But nevertheless, we have a negative connotation with the word repent. And in fact, the word repentance is a beautiful thing. It means to return to what God originally wanted you to be. Go back to the penthouse of high living, of kingdom living, of gospel living, of righteous living. Be the man, be the woman. And it comes through the changing of the way you think. Repentance is a change of the way you think. Repentance is a change of the way you walk. Repentance is a change of the way you live. Number one, let's try this one more last time and I'll get out your way. The importance of baptism. Number two, the obedience of water baptism. Notice Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I love Romans 6:1, and Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Let's try it one more time. When a person goes down into the water, they're going down into their old man. Their old life. It is a symbol. There's a lot of symbols, a lot of pictorials, a lot of imagery found in the tradition of the gospel. So when a man goes down, when a woman goes down, they're going down to their old life, their old ways, their old sins, what we would call the old man. But thank God we don't leave them down. I said, thank God we don't leave them down. Right? Now, for a couple of you all, we may want to leave down for an extra few minutes before we bring you up. I'm joking when I say that. But the imagery of baptism is that as Christ rose from the dead, you rise from that water. And you rise to a new life, to a new man, to a new meaning, to a new purpose. Number three, and finally, the blessings of water baptism. Remember, we talked about the importance. Why is it important? Because it identifies you. Why is it important? Because of his lordship. We talked about the obedience. So if Jesus could be obedient, Don't you think you could be obedient with your crazy self? If Jesus, who had no sin, by the way, remember now, he get baptized, but he had no sin to be repented of. But he did it because it pleased the Father. He did it because it was a righteous act. He did it because it was fitting for the scriptures. So if Jesus, in all of his purity and all of his sinlessness, if he could be inconvenienced to go into the water, don't you think you could get baptized too? Obedience. Someone say obedience. Third and final, and I close, the blessings of water baptism. The blessings of water baptism. Bible says 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become brand new. Mark 1:11, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. If I have no other incentive or reason or purpose for being water baptized, it's so that I know that my Father in heaven is being pleased. I don't know about you, but it didn't take a lot of faith for me to believe that if God affirmed Jesus, he'll also affirm me. Well done, my daughter. Well done, my son. Well done, you children. For now, you being baptized because you have faith in me, because you've given your life to me, but now you're making a public worship declaration for the world to see, that pleases me. No more Nicodemus ministry, hidden in the closet, private religion. Don't want nobody to know about it. I'm pleased when you can stand boldly and tell the world that you're one of mine. I get joy when I know that you're willing to come out of the closet and be a bold Christian for the Lord in such a wokeism day, in such a bad politically incorrect in this day, in such a day of cancel culture when it seems that right is wrong or wrong is right. I'm so glad that there are men and women left in the land who don't mind standing and saying, I want to identify with Christ. He is my Lord. I am washed by the blood. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. I'm so happy. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, I'm so happy that I went down as a sinner, but I came up out of the muck and the mire. He gives me a new name. He gives me a crown. He gives me a robe. He gives me a ring. He gives me a purpose for living. He takes my sadness, turns them into joy. He takes my hopelessness and turns them into purpose. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for healing. Thank God for hope for a better tomorrow. I don't know who I'm talking to in the room, but is there anybody in the house who thanks God for salvation? I just want you to stand on your feet and wave your happy hands and thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his blessings. I thank God for salvation. I thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so today, we've come to celebrate the water baptism of these beautiful candidates. And at the same time, there are those in the room, while every person standing to their feet, every head bowed, every eye closed, Pastor Stevens, thank you for the word of the Lord today. Well, thank God for his precious promises. Jesus loves you so much. Bible says that he is willing that no man would perish. I need you to hear me real quick. He has a perfect plan for your life. And I need you to know that hell was never designed for man. It was designed for the devil and his demons. But because of man's disobedience, because of our iniquities, because of our sins, it is a destined place without salvation, without Jesus. But 2,000 years ago, God gave his only begotten son. And Jesus comes into the earth and he lives and dwells and walks among us. He tabernacles, he takes on flesh. And for 33 years, he lives on the earth, just like you and just like me. But the Bible says, though he was tempted at all points, he yet was without sin. Not one time. And you say, well, that's easy for him. He was God. No, no, no. He was God, but yet he was all man. He bears the infirmity and the feelings, and he knows everything you've ever dealt with. He too has been tempted, but he never gave in because it was important that he be the atonement, the perfect Lamb of God. And so he was tried. He was found guilty. They even had a scapegoat for him. Could have gotten him off the hook, but he said, no, no, no.
No. They crucified him. Not one, not two, but 3 days he lay dead in a tomb. Some say, well, he was in a coma, or he was just in an unconscious state. Well, that wouldn't be the gospel, because the gospel says that he died. Christ died for our sins. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And he appears to a handful of people. Then he appears to the disciples. Then he appears to 500. Then he appears to multitudes. And then he goes back to heaven and sits on the right hand of God. But he doesn't go back to heaven without an assignment. He says, I'll be back. I'm coming back for church without spot or wrinkle. And whether you interpret his coming back to be 5 weeks or a year or 10 years or 20 years or 1,000 years or 5,000, it doesn't matter. He's coming back. And he may come back in this lifetime. Could come back this year. It could be another 5,000 years, but he's coming back. Question will be, will you be ready? For this is the gospel. He lived, he died, he was buried, he rose again. And Romans 10 says this, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is King of kings, Lord of lords, thou shalt be saved. You say, Pastor, I believe those things, but I don't know if I've ever had the opportunity to receive the gift of salvation. I don't know if I've ever had the invitation to receive. Well, I want to extend this invitation to every one of you right now. I'm not here to check out your background. We're not here to count any sins of your past. Bible that I read says, he who casts sins, he who without sin, let them cast the first stone. We're all here under the blood, and by grace are we saved. But here's what we are here to do. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how will he preach except he be sent? Faith coming by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. So today your faith now has increased because you heard the gospel, you heard the word, but now is your time to respond and receive the gift of salvation. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with every one of you. And if you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sins, and let me try to talk, clear talk. If you've never received the gift of salvation to be a born-again believer, I'd like to present this gift to you. And if you're willing to repeat this prayer and mean this from your heart and receive this gift, you will be saved today, right now, right here. Because it's all about your belief and your confession. And that happens right where you're standing. And I believe that he will forgive every one of your sins instantly today. You don't have to wrestle with them, struggle with them. In fact, you don't have to do anything but receive salvation and allow him to clean and wipe the slate clean. There are others in the room that you're saved, you're a Christian, you love God. But man, you've been through a season and a half, and there could be no perfect moment than to rededicate your life than right now. I know it's really all about the candidates and baptism today, but man, it'd be a horrible moment to be here and forget about you. What about you rededicating it? You recommitting your life today. We'll have another baptism experience in a couple of months, but until that time, the greatest commitment you can make is inside your heart and with your mind, and that's to serve the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I just want you to lift your hand and say, Pastor, you're praying. I want you to pray for me. I want to be saved today. I want to be a born-again believer. I want to commit my heart to Jesus. And I want to receive him into my life right where you're standing. And I don't need you to feel embarrassed, or there's no need for you to feel ashamed. We're all here. Let's just keep it real. I'm rededicating. I'm recommitting my life today. I want you to raise your hand as well. I want you to lift that hand right where you're standing. I want to pray for you. I see your hand. Just right where you're standing. Today's going to be a new beginning. Today's a new start. And I'm so excited for you. I'm excited with you. Father, as we stand in your house today, thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you for the importance, the obedience, and the blessings of baptism. Father, thank you that the greatest commitment we can make is to serve you and to be your child, and that you will be our God. Forgive us for all of our sins, every iniquity, every transgression, any and everywhere we've fallen short. And today, oh God, we just receive the gift of salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift is brand new life. So Father, we receive the gift of salvation, that we would have life and life eternally. And Lord, thank you for this morning, that you love us with an everlasting love. Thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit, that we would do your will. become your sons and daughters. And Father, I just bless you even in advance for those that are committing their lives, others that are recommitting their lives. Thank you, Lord, for those that will be joining the church and becoming part of this spiritual family and this spiritual walk. And today, God, thank you for these candidates as they make their bold declaration to stand with their public acknowledgement. God, that you will so bless them and prosper them. Use them for your glory and in your honor. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Would you clap?